Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before that can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Everything's good. I did want to remind you that next week I'm taking a few days off, so we will not have a show next Thursday night. I just wanted to remind you and all of our listeners, because, you know, they look forward to our show. I get emails after every show, people telling me the lessons they learned and all kinds of fabulous things.
But it's so nice.
It is so nice.
Love it.
You know? It is really good, and you know, we love doing our show.
It's nice having like that validation, because unfortunately, sometimes we don't always get to everybody. Like, we get a lot of callers sometimes. You know, sometimes the dashboard is completely packed, and people just can't get through. There's just not enough time in 1 hour to get to everybody. So I'm happy that people are extracting the messages that they can extract out of the people that we do get a chance to get on the air. So I think that's nice.
Oh yeah. And people say they always feel like the answer they needed that night came through. So
yep.
I find that fascinating.
I think the universe is very, very well aware that we can't get to everybody. So I think they guide us to calls that are more universal for everyone.
Exactly. And, you know, we're on like our 9th year now, I think.
Right?
Right, because I think we started in November 9 years ago, so we're almost to our 9 year on the show, and that's amazing if you think about it. We've been doing this a long time.
It doesn't feel like it's that long, you're right.
No, not to me either, because, you know, but it always feels like every night's Thursday, though, by the way. It always feels like, is it Thursday again? You know, didn't we just do this? It felt like yesterday we did the show. So, you know, the weeks go fast. That's the one thing I will tell you. The weeks go very fast. And, you know.
Yes, they do.
But we've been here a long time, and I'm just so glad that you're always there to help and support me, because it always makes the show a lot smoother and more interesting when you're around.
It is.
Now, we always
pleasure,
have to
Cindy.
Tell our listeners, what do they have to do if they want to talk to you and me, since Blog Talk Radio doesn't make that clear to them, so they don't really know what to do.
Well, today I'm going to give our listeners two disclosures. Number one, if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself, please press the number one so that I can see on the dashboard that you would like me to pick up your call tonight. And, of course, we will always do our best to get to everybody, but unfortunately we cannot. So please press the number one so that we can get right to you and get as many people as possible. Second disclosure, being what happened last week, is if you or any person that you know decides that they're going to get a personal reading from Cindy, please make sure you keep the contents of that reading to yourself. Do not disclose anything from anyone else's reading. You may only disclose information that is from a reading that you may have had in person with Cindy or on the phone with Cindy. So your personal information, perfectly okay. Anybody else's, not okay.
Right. And thank you for sharing that, because anyone who knows me, and this includes my daughter who does listen to our show quite often, she knows that I never disclose anybody's readings to anybody, even though we have some mutual friends and people might ask, oh, what they're reading that. I'm like, you really, you're asking me that? You know I'm not going to tell
What's
you.
What's that?
You know, people, they might be asking me, oh, can you tell, what happened in their reading, you know, because we all know the same people. I'm like, you're really asking me that?
Yeah, no.
You think I'm going to tell you? Even my own husband never, ever, ever gets any information about any readings I do. Like, he wouldn't even ask. He never gets them. I don't tell anybody. So, you know, on air, if you're speaking about a reading or if you know I've done a reading for someone else, and just don't air it on the radio show, please, because, you know, you can always tell me things privately or whatever, message me, email me, whatever, but on a public display, we really don't want to think and you notice whenever listeners were beginning to divulge things last week, I just, like, shut that down and, like,
Tuesday. Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to say now, because, you know, it was innocent, you know, he didn't mean it. You know, I mean, he didn't mean any harm. He meant to say what he said. He didn't mean any harm by it. But, you know, obviously what you do is a very, very personal thing. And, you know, we have to maintain that not everybody wants their stuff aired on the air. And people like to keep those things private. And people have to be able to trust in you that you're going to keep their information private. And this is your show. So we need to be just a little bit more careful about people disclosing information about other people without their consent.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'm always a person that, you know, people know that they can come for a reading, they can get a reading, and it will be very private and nothing will ever be shared. And that's the confidentiality I've built for 24 years of doing this. So
exactly.
I automatically, like, even when I'm doing private readings, if people, you know, want to know, like, what happened, what did you say to my mom or whatever, I'm like, your mom can tell you anything about her reading that she wants, but I can't tell you anything, nothing
exactly.
of what's
exactly.
been told there. And I also find it interesting when people come in pairs and packs for readings, because women in the suburbs can never come alone for a reading. They have to bring, like, five of their friends, okay? Five of their closest friends. And
That's funny.
You know, the night's going on, and I come out, and I'm listening to them. I'm hearing, like, what they said I said, and I'm hearing, boy, it gets really lost in translation sometimes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, But it's interesting to see how it happens. But I'm always, like, really, you know, your readings are for yourself. And even I don't like that they're immediately sharing their reading right after they've gotten it, because it was for them. And they need to think about it and process and figure out what you might want to say or not say about your reading. So readings are really something very private. I really don't, I allow people to record them. I don't have any problem with that. I actually like when they record it, because sometimes people say I said something I didn't say. And I'm like, yeah, just listen to the recording.
Exactly.
But I also don't like it because they'll share it with other people, the whole recording, and it's really meant for you. And
yes.
if you know, I find out that people are doing that with their recordings, they have to tell them you can't record it now, or their readings get not as good as they should be because the spirit guides shut up. You know what I mean? Because it's really meant for you. You know, certain things are meant for you. We go through this life our own soulful journey. You know, no matter how much we try to pretend we're not alone on this planet. You know, the only person you're going to be with from beginning to end is yourself. So a lot of the reading, what's so special about a psychic reading, is that your spirit guides have no personal agenda. They care about you, and they don't care, you know, sometimes they don't care about your husband or your wife or your mother. They care about, like, what's being done to you and what you need to do. So if you're sharing that with everybody, they're going to start giving their input, how, you know, because they might not like what was said, because that, you know, that
of
may
course.
Not be to their best advantage. So suddenly they're going to twist and turn everything. So I would say, you know, keep your readings to yourself as much as you possibly can, because it's really your knowledge that we're trying to give, and it's private to you. And, you know, isn't it funny how people blab everything sometimes? They just blab everything, you know.
I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you blab your reading?
I mean, like, I'll share, like, you know what I do? Like, I'll share sometimes, you know, what was said. But I kind of wait a little bit. Like, I'm very, very vague when I first get my readings. You know, I won't say anything in great detail. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll use broad topics to explain, like, what was said to me. And then once I see some of the things from that reading start to manifest itself, that's usually when I divulge, oh, my God, she said A, B, C, and D, because I've already gotten the message at that point. I've already gotten the sign. I've already, you know, completed, you know, what, you know, what had happened there. Like, I tell people all the time about one of my first, actually about my first reading with you, you know, and that's because obviously I've been there, done that. It's in the past and I've already gotten that message,
right.
You know, I mean, and I don't know if you remember my first reading, but a mutual friend of ours, or rather a client of mine.
I do remember. You know what? It's
mine.
Funny. I almost remember yours word to word, but you tell the people. For some reason, I remember
Oh,
yours.
My gosh. Well, this was absolutely great because this was when I was a skeptic. And anybody that has listened to the show consistently for the last 9 years, you can go back to my earlier shows that I'm just completely not the same person. But I was very skeptical, and I was like, oh, yeah, right, this woman is a psychic. Okay, yeah, tell me another one. And, you know, our friend was just kind of like, nope, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. I said, all right, I'll give it a shot, but I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen. You know, I'm like, I don't believe in this stuff. So I show up to Cindy's place, and, you know, she starts doing what she does best. And, of course, I'm, like, keeping my mouth shut, and I'm not really divulging too much information. And Cindy tells me that somebody is with me. And, you know, she gives me, you know, the whole broad description of this person. Tells me that this person is kind of like a grandfather, and I named that person, and she's like, no, somebody else, you know, and then somebody else had come into the room, and she was like, oh, you know, these two people, you know, I get exactly what you're saying, these two people weren't really fans of each other in life, but in death, you know, they know a lot more now, and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, they were like, who's the L, who's the L in your, Linda, Lynn, and she started going through, I'm like, yeah, that's my mom. They want you to start talking to your mom again. Meanwhile, the only thing that Cindy ever knew about me was my phone number and my first name, not even my last name. And at the time, I hadn't spoken with my mother in a very, very long time. We had a falling out. And Cindy said, oh, yeah, these two father figures, these two grandfather figures, they need you to start talking to your mom again. It's time to cut it out. And my jaw just dropped. And that was the end of that. And I was a believer from that day on.
Well, it's kind of funny because I'll say to people, like, you know, like sometimes like people won't want to give me like any information, like when I have to book like an appointment, they don't want to give me their last name, and I don't care. I'm not going to Google you. I don't have time. Give me any made up name because I can't just have. I have 8,000 Danielles. Okay, so it gets confusing sometimes. So I like two names helps me with like if I have 8,000 Danielles, which one is it? Okay. And sometimes they don't want to give a phone number because from the phone number you could Google stuff, which I don't even know that, whatever. They want to give me a phone and they don't get any information. And I laugh at them. I go, do you know that I do probably 80 psychic parties a year where I read 8 people? That's 640 people that I don't know that come in front of me, like one after another. Do you think I'm Googling them? I don't even know who they are. I don't even know their names half the time. You know, do you think that I need to Google you? You know what I mean? It's like, really? And sometimes people will be like, they're really skeptical and they don't want to believe in the readings and, you know, what it is. And then all of a sudden the person like really gets pissed, like their mother will, you know, well, this is Jane speaking and she's not happy with the way you're treating Cindy. And they'll like back off. And they go, what? What? I go, your mother's saying she's not happy. And they go, I know who Jane is. She's my mother. And I go, yeah. And be nice to Cindy is what she's saying. And they crack up. But it's so funny because no one wants, like, they think, like, we see, and I'm sure there are psychics that probably will Google, do everything like that, but they don't read the volume of people I do. I don't even have time to do that if I wanted to.
Yeah, no.
But it's so funny because they'll always be like, well, you must have just Googled that. I go, you're sitting in front of me, and I've been here with you for, like, a half an hour,
yes.
A stranger's
well,
house.
You know,
with
Cindy,
no computer
along
in my
with
hand.
Those, along with those, you know, along with your ability to do what you do and to be a medium, didn't you know you also have the ability to stop time, Google something, and then get right back into your position and restart time so that nobody knows you just Googled something?
That's why I say, really? You gotta be kidding me, okay? You gotta be kidding me. You know, so you have to laugh. And there was one woman who did not want, young girl, she didn't want to give her phone number for me to have her number, so she's going to give me a fake number. It was ridiculous. I didn't even want to read her. And what I should have said to her is really, you know, Google my name. In 24 years, there's nothing bad about me, and there's probably 80 pages on me on the internet, okay? Like, if you Google my name under different topics, there's a million pages. And I didn't want to read her because I just felt, you know, got a referral from somebody or something. This is like, I don't really need this. Well, as it turned out, she had to cancel her appointment. I was so happy. I was like, yes, I'll have to read her. Do you know what I mean? And what I didn't want to read her to begin with. After a while, it's like, no, this is getting ridiculous. You know, I need a certain amount of stuff to run my business as anybody else does. You know, I need, you know, just please, I can't just have your email because sometimes people's emails don't work and I need to confirm
exactly.
it. So I need a second source of it in case, or God forbid I have to cancel. I need a second source to cancel. You know, how am I going to reach
yep.
the fastest, you know? But it's like, well, then you're going to find out all this information about me. Like, oh, God. But sometimes it's just funny to me. So I just think the universe always protects me from people I shouldn't read. You know what I mean? It's like, but the message from that was, you should have just told her, look, I don't read people that don't trust me enough to give me a legitimate phone number. Like, so that I can...
Yeah.
call a person to, you know, to cancel if I need to, or to find out if you're coming or not coming. It's like, well, you should know that you're psychic. I'm like, okay, all right. Now we're really ridiculous. You know what I mean? You know, really, I don't waste my time using my psychic ability for stupid stuff that you should tell me. You know what I mean? You tell me if you're coming
mm-hmm.
or not. I don't have to psych that out. Yeah, no one is on that I need to label for you, by the way.
Okay.
And now, we do have the first caller that I would like to go to is the 0194 because she did email me earlier today. And again, if you want to try to guarantee getting through the show, you can email me at cindysansonebraff@gmail.com. You know, before
Wonderful.
The show, we'll try to get you through. So,
of
perfect.
Course.
So we'll do
so,
that,
right,
and then
so
you're
going to go
screen
to
the rest.
And I'm going to go start screaming my butt off.
Okay, great.
Hello, 0194. You are on the air.
Hi, ladies. It's Eleanor. How are you both?
Hi, Eleanor.
Hello,
I'm always
Eleanor.
So happy to hear from you.
Oh,
and
thank you.
For our listeners who don't know you, you've been having a kind of a long-term relationship now. You've been with this man for a while. It's not yesterday. How long has it actually been now?
It's actually about 2 years this month.
Right, so it is a long term. And there were some rocky up and down times, and you didn't always know if you could trust him, but you've been hanging in there with him, and he sort of has a psychic gift as well, so he's an interesting character. So you said you've been, you know, things have been going good. Is that what the email was referring, that things
yeah,
are going
I
better
mean,
in the relationship?
The first 2 years have been a lot of growing pains together. You know, we're setting boundaries of, you know, what I don't want, what he doesn't want. And we're finally into, you know, a very comfortable groove. And, you know, every now and then we hit a snag, but it's worked out. And, you know, the communication is there. The connection is there overall. He started coming over to me now. And he's moving some of his stuff in. So now we're interchanging between my place and his place. But I'm getting a little bit of cold feet. I don't know if this is the right thing or, you know, it's kind of scaring me a little bit. And I was just wondering what insight.
Well,
you
again,
could
you have young children and not young, but, you know, children. And, you know, it's a little nervous to bring another person into that territory. And let me see.
My kids actually like him a lot. But then again, they don't really know him yet.
And they don't also live with him, okay?
Right.
It's very funny because families by nature get extremely dysfunctional because there's very few people that can actually live together on the planet, okay?
Right.
This probably maybe in your whole entire lifetime, maybe 10 people you could probably live in peace with, okay? Because everybody's different. You can love them as friends. You could love them as, you know, family members, but living with people's heart, even sometimes when children move out of a house from their parents, their relationship with their parents is better.
Right.
They have their space. If they want to be a slob and make a mess, they can do it. Whatever they want to do, it's their space. So they may like him, but living with him might be hard. I mean, do you have, like, do your children have their own bathroom, their own space that they won't have
yes.
to be with him? Perfect.
Yes, and he has his own space. He created a space in my house.
Okay, that's
Actually.
Good, because part of it is people need a room of their own. They need their own space. So
right.
That's good that, he won't be actually living in their, you know, their immediate space. Drawn boundaries and guidelines? Like, is he allowed to discipline the children? Have you talked about that, what his role is or not with the children?
Right, well, he, he doesn't want to discipline them. He feels it's my job. And, you know, he's very polite and nice to them and talks to them. And, it's only been, you know, a very quick, you know, meeting and, you know, staying over. And, you know, they don't really know him as well as I do. So it's moving very quickly at this point. I think he's already seeing, like, moving in together. I mean, for a while he was talking about marriage, which is something I don't want to do right now, you know, or maybe ever. But I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, I think I can trust him, but I don't know. It's very
well, exciting. I remember he used to have a lot of female friends that he used to talk to all the time.
Right. I mean, they disappeared. He has maybe like two female friends right now, and he has a few, I guess, you know, clients, you know, he speaks to time to time, but there's nothing like, you know, in meeting them at all. But still, I mean, I don't know. I just, I don't know if there's so much secrecy. I don't know if I can trust him, you know, enough to move him in.
Okay. And, you know, at this point, you might as well give it a try. Okay. I'm not seeing horrible cards here. I'm not seeing anything really bad here. You know, it just might be, you know, if he's talking to these women or his women friends, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Good. And, you know, it looks like he's, you know, he wants to be moving. Is he still going to keep his place for a while?
Oh, you think he's going to keep his place for a while?
I mean, do you want him to keep his place? Like, what would happen if this doesn't work? Where is he going to go move to after this?
Well, you know, that's the thing, because I don't want to have him move here unless it's, like, absolutely definite, you know. So, for me, it's going to be a while where we're going to, you know, commute back and forth.
Right.
I want to be 100% sure, because I'm involving my kids. It's a big thing.
Well, that's why I said I don't know if I would let him move in if he doesn't keep his place for a few months. If it doesn't work, then he can move out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he has no place to live, you might have to, you know. And in New York, by the way, you can't get somebody out. Like, if he gets mail delivered to your space, you can't get him out without a sheriff. So you might want to think about, is he going to get mail delivered to you? Is he going to have to get a P.O. box or stuff like that? So that, you know, if you want to get him out, how difficult is this going to be? If he has no place else to go, how can you get him out of there? I mean, because you have children, you have to have a little more continuity. If it's just you, you could deal with it, you know. But what if he doesn't get along with your kids? And it
I mean, are he and I compatible together? Is it enough that I can trust him? Do you think, is this a mistake?
I don't think that it's a terrible mistake. It doesn't look awful here, okay? And it's almost like you have to figure out where this relationship is going anyway. And because it's a long distance back and forth, I think it's been a lot for the both of you. But remember, when you used to go to him, it was your sort of sacred space away from the kids and your haven. Now you don't have a separate haven, you know, to go for yourself.
Right.
So I don't think it's a huge mistake. I do see there's going to be some tension between your kids. I mean, one of your children is difficult, okay, and you know that, not the easiest child. That child could end up having some trouble with him there. And, you know, in that case, you don't want to ruin your relationship with him, and you don't want to ruin your relationship with your child either. So you could get caught a little bit in the middle here.
Right.
But, you know, you've already started the move. I don't. I think you would always have some second guessing about it. Is he going to help pay bills? Is he going to help you in some way?
Yes, he said he would.
Okay. And did you come up with how that's going
to
be?
No, this is projecting too far ahead. I'm still at, is this the right, you know, I'm not at let's move in together yet. I'm just thinking like, oh, gee, he's spending the weekend and, you know, another extra day. Like, what would this be like if he moved in?
Well, I think it's good. I wouldn't push it more than like 3 days right now. Let's see how 3 days goes.
Right.
Okay. Like, if 3 days goes okay, then, you know, maybe four.
But I guess I want to know, is he the one for me? I mean, you know, because I see, people as like a soulmate long term when I'm in a relationship with them. I don't see them as disposable. I mean, is this the person for the remainder of my life, or am I making a mistake with him moving in together?
Again, that's a big question to ask a psychic, because if you don't know, how am I supposed to know?
Right.
I mean, your heart should know. Like, when you're really with the person that you're supposed to be with, you don't have a lot of second guessing. The worst part is that.
I guess I'm having trust issues with him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is this somebody I can trust? Should I be aware of? Is there something that I should be aware of, maybe?
Well, I'm seeing he does still talk to those women and whatever.
Right.
And he doesn't have much of a life outside, really,
mm-hmm.
Of the world. So, you know, he doesn't have many friends or anything like that, except this few females that he has. I don't
mm-hmm.
think he's going to stop with that. But I don't think he would want to move in if he wanted to be with other people. Do you? I mean, wouldn't it be more for him to live for?
Yeah, no, I know he doesn't want to be with anybody else. And, you know, I know that, you know, he is committed to me, but I guess, you know, I don't know what he's doing as far as text messaging or, you know, anything, you know, that I should be aware of, you know.
Well, I think he's, you know, going to continue some of that. I mean, I don't know if it's a deal breaker for you or not. I mean, you're not going to change him. He's, you know, he's lived alone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if he got to feel like it's a family, that would be good for him. You know, his, you know, the brother that killed himself, that one coming through?
Yes.
His brother.
He said,
you know, I think he's looking for a family. And if he feels like he has a family, it would fulfill a lot of his reason why he talks to certain people. You know, he's lonely a lot.
Right.
So if he's more involved with you and your children and everything else, you know, some of that chit-chatting would probably stop.
Yeah, one of his female friends that I became friends with actually was telling me, you know, that she's so happy that, you know, he feels like he has a family with me. You know, that he
right.
enjoys being here.
And that's
know.
What he wants. So, I mean, I wouldn't move him in more than 3 days a week right now.
Right.
I'm just seeing that might be a bit much for the kids right now. You know, I'm glad
okay.
it's you're not thinking of full-time right now, because you just have to see how this goes a little bit.
I think so.
And this way he still has his own space, you know?
Right.
Just for a little while. And then, like, in 6 months, if this is working, then you try to take it to the next level.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think you're making a mistake with him spending more time there, because you don't want to be running back and forth all the time there, and the kid, you know, he's there with the kids and you're with the kids, and it, you know, could be a very happy family unit. And how is his health? Because I remember his health was not great. Is it getting better?
You know, some of the pain is a little bit better, but he's still got chronic issues, and that's the other piece that I'd like to see resolved. You know, and I don't want to be a caregiver completely either. That's the other problem.
Right. And also, if he's going to move in, you know, before you move in full time, you have to figure out what is his financial obligation, okay? Because you're going to resent if you have a man living in your house who's not helping you financially.
Right. Well, everything would have to be clearly written down and understood before that, you know, actually happened.
Right. I mean, you know, this is your home. He's not going to own your home. You know, this is your home, but he could pay, like, rent. You know what I mean?
Right.
That pays the taxes or something. You know, you have to figure out what bill he pays, you know, that makes it, you know, important. You know, whatever he was paying in his rent there, he could help you. Because otherwise, you know, women, my clients that let men move in and they're not concerned about the money, 2 years down the line, they start really resenting it.
Right.
But it looks like everything's good. I mean, you know, I'm not getting any really, you know, any bad cards on him. Actually, it looks like it should be, you know, happy. If your kids are enjoying him, that's great. I just don't think it's time for the full time there, because every time I say the full time, I get the devil card, which is a relationship that's toxic. Like, he's going to probably need a space to go home to, too. He may find he can deal with it 4 days, but he needs 3 days without your kids, too.
Right.
I mean, especially they're getting the teen years. They're a pain in the ass. I wouldn't want to live with anybody's teenagers. To be God's honest with you, I wouldn't. I would need
I can't
to run
take
away.
It.
Okay. I know I couldn't take it either. So You know, he may find, oh, I can deal with the kids 4 days a week, but I need 3 days of quiet and not with them. And it doesn't mean he doesn't like them, but nobody likes teenagers.
Oh, they're awful and self-consumed. I can't stand it. I feel like I'm choked by them.
But and maybe him being there 3 days a week keeps them on better behavior for a few days a week. He's there.
Right, well, that's what's happening.
So,
they
so they're behaving better. And
they're better with him than their own father. They like him better.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So he might help them see you in a different light and, you know, behave better. And maybe when he's not there, they're in a better habit of behaving better. So it looks really good. But, you know, I think you're just, it's best to take it a little bit slow. And I'm glad it's progressing that he wants to be there more. That's great. It's moving closer and closer. That's good.
Right.
Again, if you didn't have kids, you could just move him in, you know, in a kit and caboodle all at once. Because if you didn't like him, you kick him out. But when you have kids, you can't move people in and out. It's very unsettling for them.
Yes.
So, you
know, that's what it is.
It actually looks very good, and I'm not worried about it at all. And, and again, he may be the one that says, I can't move in here full time. Nothing personal to you, but, you know, when the kids get bigger, even, you know, just a few years down the line when the kids are mostly at college or whatever, it's different.
Do you see him as wanting to move in full time?
It looks like he may decide full time might be too much for him too. So, and I don't want you to feel bad that he doesn't want to move in full time either.
No,
you know what I mean?
I'm fine with that.
Right. I mean, he might, you know, come to that conclusion. You know, I need 3 days when it's, you know, I just have my space. And, you know, that's great. Well, call in and let us know what happens as time progresses and goes on. But I'm glad you're taking it to the next level because it looks really good. You have to see if you could live with him. You got to see what's there.
Right.
And again, by nature, you know, families are extremely dysfunctional. That was channeled to me recently. It's just the nature of people living in a household that maybe are not all that compatible at times. It's not easy. It's not easy.
I'm not compatible with my kids, and you know, I'm trying to rush them.
I mean, I understand it. Like, some kids are really slobs, and if you're not a slob, they can drive you crazy. Some kids are just really noisy, and if you're not a noisy person, you know, that you know it's better if they don't live in the house with you.
Right.
I mean, that's why I bought a small house. Nobody can come live with me anymore. You know, not, you know, like, that's it. I can't just, you know, TJ and I, you know, I can deal with that. I can deal with everybody else all the time. You know?
That's something I might want to consider down the line.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, you move a house big enough, the kids are always coming back and forth. You know, it's a lot for parents nowadays. So,
yes.
Again, some people are better off if they don't live in a house full-time with each other. And, you know, you'll find out that on your own. Well, we're glad you called in. We're going to try to get some other listeners because we have so many callers tonight.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Bye.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, you heard what I said. Not everybody can live with each other. You know that. Sometimes you just can't live with certain people. So let's see. We have Claudia. Update. Okay. She had a reading 1 month ago. Okay. Now, I don't see much else about that, but I'm going to take Claudia. You're going to be live and on the air. Hi, Claudia. You're live and on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Claudia. Can you hear?
Hello?
Are you there? Hi, Claudia.
Yeah,
you're live and on the air. I know we're a little funky tonight. Hello. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. It's a little faint. I'm not sure if your volume is low.
Okay. Hold on just a second.
That's better just now, even what you're doing.
Oh, okay. I was just calling because I wanted to update you on the soulmate that reappeared recently, and you told me that you got the devil card.
Yes.
On him. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well,
the famous devil card, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just decided to kind of just shut the door on that completely.
Oh. Good. And does it feel right in shutting the door completely?
Yeah, because no matter how much I try to evaluate my decision in my mind, like, well, maybe I should have done it this way or I should have done it that way, I just come to the conclusion that's like there's really not much to say anyway. Like, no matter what I say, or what I do, this guy is like, I just feel like he's never really going to change, you know? And
right.
I've gotten to a point where I'm like, did he even care about me at all at some point?
Okay, that's the thing that drives a lot of people crazy, okay? And I'm glad you called in to say it. Now, we have to know with people who are unfixables, okay, narcissists, manipulators who judge others. We can bring out the best in them. You're a good person, and in the beginning, you brought out the best in him. So it wasn't all lies. That was truth. Okay, but unfixables can't sustain being good for more than 3 to 6 months. They just can't do it. Then their other personality comes out. But I don't want you to think that he never cared about you. That's not true. He cared about you very much. And, you know, part of what he would have had to say karmically is that he knows he's all screwed up and he's sorry he couldn't do better. But, you know, you're the love of my life. And you know that's how he feels. That's why he wants to come back or comes back and forth. He's not stupid. You're a good catch. Why wouldn't he want you back? You know, you're beautiful. You're hardworking. You're a good person. You're a person of your word. Why wouldn't he want you? And it's just don't start second guessing it, because hearts don't lie. People lie. What does your heart tell you about the beginning of the relationship?
I've known him for years, like since high school, and I feel like there was always a connection there. It's just that when we were in high school, like, well, I had a boyfriend, you know, so it wasn't really going to work out then. But I feel like there was always sort of that spark, you know. But I don't know. He's changed a lot. Like, I'm actually like really disappointed in the type of person he turned out to be, and kind of like surprised that he behaves the way that he does, you know. And I'm just kind of tired of being disappointed. I actually didn't even tell him that I was not gonna be talking to him anymore. I just kind of honestly I just
did you do the ghost thing back him. You just disappeared.
I did. I just disappeared.
Okay, good, because at this point, he doesn't really deserve explanations.
No.
Because he will try to manipulate you back. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And
you need that like a hole in the head.
Yeah. he'll start out okay, you know, doing and saying the right things, and I feel like as soon as he has my attention and he has me there again, he goes back to being and doing, you know, what he
that's
shouldn't.
That's what commitment phobics, who are all, and they're always narcissist commitment phobics, do. They whine and dine us, come back when they think they've lost us, do everything we want them to do for, like, a short period of time. And then, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months down the line, they're back to their bullshit. Okay, so you've seen the pattern of him. But, you know, there is he's not a total unfixable. He's more Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, okay? He's got a good side and a bad side. And for the most part, you can hook the good side, but then the bad side comes back. And as people start getting older, because this is such a narcissistic culture where crime pays and, you know, Tinder and all the crap of cheating and, you know, that people do, and it's easier to sneak and cheat, they tend to just go to become total unfixables by the time they hit 35, 40. I mean, it's just what happens. They just see everybody else doing it. They see people getting away with it, and they just go on that side. So it don't think that he didn't have potential to be a good person, and because God wouldn't have brought him to you, because they always hope when they bring a soulmate relationship that the soulmate will heal, that your beacon of light will help him see the light and heal. They know it's only a 10% chance, but it's always hope. And you also had to learn some very hard lessons, and that not everybody's you, not everybody tells the truth, not everybody's fixable. So you learned a lot of things in him being brought to you too. And, you know, don't think that it's all been a waste, because I think you're learning to trust your judgment better. Don't ignore red flags. If you look back on this relationship, you did ignore a lot of red flags. Did you realize you ignored a lot of them?
I would say so, yeah. You know, they were, I mean, when I first started seeing him, I was going through, like, a divorce. So So my self-esteem was kind of shaky, you know. I was very vulnerable, I feel. So, you know, I think that, and I felt lonely and I felt sad because I was divorced and this and that. So I think I was very, I was vulnerable, you know. My self-esteem was just, like, very bad.
And also, you're going through a divorce, and the man that's brought to us after we're divorcing is always more of the same. He's, you know, your ex was a total unfixable narcissist who judged others and everything else. This man was brought to show you that you still hadn't learned all the lessons you should have learned. And that's that you can't fix people. So your self-esteem and your need to learn those lessons. And, you know, most women can't leave a man unless there's another man there. So he actually helped you, kept you from going back to your ex at all or even thinking about it. And just know that you're going to be given another soulmate. You learned what you needed to learn. And this is just phenomenal what I see for the future with you. And you had to close that door. You know, you had to close it. It's hard because now you have to mourn for the ending of your marriage again, for him, for all your losses. So a loss of a soulmate is like a death. And you feel like you're grieving for him. And you don't have to stop loving him. If he died, you would still love him with your heart, your soul, and your mind. You just wouldn't put your body in the same place. You can't put your body with him because that's the part that's flawed with him. You know, the part that will hurt you.
I'm just like, just kind of like, yes, I'm grieving him, but I'm also kind of like very bored and tired with the whole situation. And I'm just very disappointed. He actually texted me today and I didn't reply, which is very, very unlike me. You know, I didn't reply because I just, you know, I'm like, what is there to say? There's just nothing else to say to this person, you know, like.
And that's why I think you don't owe him, because you've already delivered messages, you've told him things. All he's going to do is twist and turn the truth and manipulate you.
Yeah.
And push your guilt buttons and make you feel bad. So I think in this instance, he knows how you feel. He also knows what he did to get this response. I mean, part of why we're back on Earth is to learn we can't fix people. You've picked two men that are very unfixable, narcissists who judge others. We're also here to learn to punish people. And punishment is cutting you out. I had enough. And and that's what you're doing. Once you learn that lesson, and I've taught you the lesson now, like you didn't fully learn from when you ended your marriage with your husband, because it wasn't articulated, what are your lessons? Now you got a second round of it. Now that you learn those lessons, God won't bring you an unfixable again. You don't need to learn this anymore. So you're going to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. Don't ignore red flags, okay? If you think a man's lying, he's lying. If he says something that's not gelling, it doesn't make sense, you know, if he hasn't worked in a few years, don't feel sorry for him. He can't find work. He doesn't want to work. You know, we have to kind of figure out that people do tell us who they are. We just ignore it. And, you know, and so, yes, you should feel sad. Yes, you should feel bad about it because, you know, there was the potential that this man could have been a man that could have been with you for the rest of your life. You never stop loving him. You stop liking him. He really turned you off that way, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, and I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. Is this the kind of man you'd want your daughter to be with?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
want her to be treated the way I was treated.
Okay, so you want to make sure you don't pick men like that anymore. Don't ignore the red flags.
Okay.
Because that's all you did. And, you know, call us, you know, and let us know how you're feeling, if, you know, in the next few weeks, because, you know, you go through good days and bad days. But whatever you do, don't get tempted to contact him. You know, like older souls tend to forget. We have very short memories when people abuse us. You know, a month later, we're like, oh, he wasn't that bad. Yeah, he is. Write down 100 reasons, after you get off the phone, 100 reasons why I can never take him back. So when you're starting to feel like nostalgic or, you know, time is making him look better, you read that.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's a very good exercise because we forget half of it. And then, like, 2 months later,
yeah.
you go, look, I forgot he did that. You know what I mean? I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah.
So we don't want you to forget the reason. It's a really good thing to do because we tend to make saints of people when they're gone or want to look for the, you know, what was good and we forget what was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done that exercise about people. And, you know, it's like 10 years pass, and I think, oh, they weren't that bad, right? And I read that list,
mm-hmm.
I go, how the hell did I forget all that? You know what I mean? It just amazes me, you know, and it's major crap, too. It's not like little stuff. It's
right.
like, oh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Now, if I did that kind of crap, I'd never forget it, nor would you. If I've heard people like that, I would take that to my grave. I would never forget it. It's a really strange mind that good people have. They never forgive themselves or forget bad stuff they've done, but they forgive and forget too easily what other people have done to them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a
yeah.
Who would write those rules? Unfixables wrote those over the millenniums to make good people
yeah.
think exactly that way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So it's in your mind. It's in my mind too. So I have to always write down things about people, because otherwise I get hooked up with them again. It's even in a business situation, and I'm like, I can't believe I forgot how they screwed me over so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just write it down.
Okay, I will. Cindy.
Well, thank you for calling. We're gonna try to get another caller or two tonight.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye, Claudia.
Bye.
Now we have Teresa. Okay.
Yes. We have Teresa,
okay,
and Teresa, if you recall, Cindy, she had a question about an old flame that she was kind of sort of avoiding, and, you know, she turned him down a couple of times because, you know, back in the day, you know, he was like a little bit of a player, and she finally sucked it up, Sin, and she went out with him, and she had an awesome time. So now she needs
wow.
you to update her. Is this guy still a player? Is like, you know, is she doing the right thing here? And what do you see on your end here?
Okay, good questions. I love that.
All right, Teresa, you are on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Teresa.
How
She's
are
one
you?
Of my favorite people. I love my Teresa. And, okay. Now.
Well, I know it's too soon for me to directly ask him, so.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to waste my time.
You also had a very strong soulmate connection back in the day. Do you remember that with him?
Yes.
Okay, because
yes.
this is
well,
you know,
I
this,
felt
this
it.
Is a
I don't know if
connection.
He felt it.
No, no. There's a very strong soulmate connection. And, you know, he's a little bit of a commitment phobic, okay? You know, he's a little afraid of commitment, this guy. But it's showing, you know, they're not bad cards showing on this situation right now. And, you know, you went out on a date with him and, you know, how has he responded since then? Has he called you? Has he texted you? Is he
Well, this is the
another...
issue. He's, this is where I have the problem. He does. I've heard from him just about every single day since the date, only via text message. And then he had called me, text messages, then he had called me. And I guess he wanted to ask me out, and I had plans, and I had plans. But we had talked for a while, just talking about everything. This is, like, the first time we've actually communicated this time around. Like, he evolved as an individual from, I hate to say, a Neanderthal to somebody who's actually using his thumbs. But, you know, that's terrible. God forgive me. But,
right.
you know, I mean... He's evolved to a certain extent. He actually had a relationship with someone, and he was very nice about it. He said, you know, things just, I don't know what happened. He says it was very good in the beginning. He says, and then it just fell apart. He had nothing derogatory to say about anyone, and I found that refreshing. You know,
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
But why is it the texting and not phone calls?
I don't know. That's my problem.
Because,
I don't know.
You know,
and I'll be honest with you,
is,
I don't want this type of relationship again.
He's not a spring chicken. How old is he?
He's my age. We're at the same age. Actually,
and,
I think I'm a month older than him.
Do you mind divulging that information for our listeners?
55. 56,
okay, so,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so I needed you to tell that because he's not of a generation. He's not 20. He's not 30. He's not 40. He's not a generation that was raised on texting as a means of communication. Okay? He's your generation. And texting is one of those things that keeps people a little at arm's length. You're never quite sure. And I'm always wondering, well, why can't you call me? Where are you at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night that you can't, you know, talk to me?
Right, right.
I mean, I text my clients about appointments and other things. I don't want to talk to them. I have to be honest with you. I talk all day. I did 8-10 readings a day. I'm tired. I don't want to talk to you on the phone to book or anything. I don't want to talk for 10 minutes. So I use it to avoid talking. Now,
sometimes I do.
That,
yeah.
And that's what messages are for. Like, I don't want to really talk to you. I want to talk to my husband or my daughter or somebody else. If I spend all night, you know, every phone call is 15 minutes, how am I going to have time to talk to anybody that I need to talk to? So it makes sense when you use messaging in business and in ways that you don't really want to have a conversation with that person right then, okay? But if it's, you know, TJ or my husband, I'm going to sit there and text him. Like, I'll call him, like, from the car, or I'll call it, whatever. We'll talk. Like, did you tell him you don't like just texting as communication?
Well, I think I'm going to actually do that. Last time he said hi, and then I said hi back, and then he called me immediately, I guess, to know that I was near my phone. And then, you know, we sat and had the conversation, and I guess, I don't know. He seems to be, you know, this now, you know how old he is. He actually
right.
asked me to rate him. He actually asked me to rate the date. I found that to be a little childish and odd.
Well, that's because you have to understand, this is like the world now. It's like everything's on, it's like the dating apps and all that. It's like Amazon, rate my product. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I had a laugh. Yeah. I was like, you want me to what? But
and how did you rate him?
I was honest. It was a fabulous date. I gave him a 10. I did. Yes,
good.
It
and he,
10.
I think he just wanted
like,
to
I gave
hear
you
it.
A 10. And then
okay,
he said, "Well, I changed since the last time you saw me. Blah blah blah." And you know, is that okay? He almost sounded a little on the insecure side, which struck
well,
me funny. But that was only a brief moment.
I think the last relationship that fell apart, he had to do a lot of soul searching. Okay, he had to do a lot of soul searching. As to why did this go from good to so bad, okay? He had to take some blame for it, not 1,000% blame, you know, half his share and half her share. I think he's 56 years old. He's starting to realize, does he want to be at a bar when he's 66 looking for somebody? And he gets lonely. You know, it seems he's
yeah.
had a midlife crisis. He's starting to realize, you know, if I don't commit now, when will I? You know, at what point? So, you know, he's doing some growing up. And, you know, you have to, you know, see how he progresses from date to date. The prince that becomes the beast, 3 months is the max. You'll know if he's full of shit, by the way. You know, you'll just
yeah.
know it. You know, I mean, if he can't sustain it, at what point, I mean, is it just dating? Is that what you want from him right now?
Honestly, I like to get to know him and make sure he's evolved before I give my heart to anybody. I'm a little concerned about he may not have evolved as much as I would have liked him to evolve. You know, I mean, I want to ask him that question, are you in with both feet? But it's a little too soon to ask if he's in with both feet, so I have to wait and see. But, I mean, this is now 2 weeks today, I think.
And
since
you
I
went on
no,
one date,
tomorrow.
You went on one date so far?
Yeah, but I mean, he
why
texts
only,
me all the time, these little stupid.
But why only
even
one
today
date?
He
why,
was dangling the carrot. Why not call me?
Why only one date in 2 weeks?
Well, he went away, but that's, and
okay,
I was busy.
All right, so, you know, it's kind of like, let's see what happens. Let's see if it becomes somebody you're going to see more than once a week or, you know, his. You know, relationship needs a little more than once a week to grow. And
oh, I agree.
And
I think he's
you know,
afraid. I don't know.
Well, that's what I saw here. He's a commitment phobic. I'm not, you know, he did have a relationship, and it, you know, I think that was a big step for a commitment phobic, but it didn't turn out right at the end. So he's a little afraid. He's scared. He's a little gun shy here. So you know, you're allowed to tiptoe for 3 months. You know, at that point, see what happens. You know, if in 3 months you only see him once a week, once every 2 weeks, that'll be like 5-6 times between 3 months. It won't be a ton of times, but it'll be enough for you to kind of know if this is going to progress. And at the 3-month mark, you'd have a right to ask for something more. Like you don't want a once a week guy. Did you get rid of the other guy that was the every second leeching on you guy?
Michael, I kind of sort of did. I really got very upset. We were supposed to go on that trip as friends, and he somehow was incapable of coming up with the money. And I literally, I'm canceling. I'm trying to cancel and get my money back, and that's the end of that. So I haven't really spoken to him. I just haven't spoken to Michael. I've been pretty upset over the situation.
Okay, now it's a thing, you know. He's a grown man. Don't say you're going to have money for a trip you don't have. It's stupid, okay? But the universe wanted you to see with him that he's not the right guy for you. Have you seen that with Michael? He's not the right guy for you?
Oh, no, he's definitely not for me. I kind of knew that from the get-go, but, it's like I feel like it's a Tom coming back. It's kind of scary, and I really, this whole money thing really got to me. And I said, you know what, I can't wait for him to pay me back. I'm going to have to cancel this trip and get my money back because more than likely I'll never see that money.
Right. Now, thank you. Did you learn that? Thank you. Now, you're not the same person you used to be, but also, you know, you have to cut that out with him. You know, how long did it take you to see his colors?
Well, I've kind of like saw it all along, but not really, because I never thought that he would take advantage. And then I realized when I was looking at the situation, he always winds up dating very strong women that could support him and that he can be their showpiece or whatever he thinks he is. And I'm looking at his past relationship, and I'm seeing that he was the servant to her. She paid for everything, and he just, you know, that was it. I'm not looking for a little boy, and I'm not looking for that type of thing, and I like to be treated like a lady. And when I went out with this other gentleman that we were discussing, that man reminded me of everything that I was missing. It was like heaven.
All the nice little things,
the opening of the doors and the sweet smile and the, you know. The only thing that bothers me is his house is cleaner than mine, but I'll get over it.
Okay. I could live with that. That means he's not a slob. What were we talking about earlier? Sometimes you just can't live with people because they're a slob. I mean, sometimes it's hard to live with somebody if they're too clean because they could drive you nuts too. But it looks like, you know, he's a responsible guy, you know. He's responsible. Doesn't that seem good?
Yeah, he checks off a lot of
boxes. He's not looking for somebody
to
be his mommy and clean his house.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not seeing bad cards on him. I'm just seeing that, you know, he thought about you over all these years. Did you know that?
That's nice.
And, you know, you are a person that was, you know, someone he thinks about a lot. So, you know, I would just take it a little, you know, see what happens in the next couple of months. And he was in a committed relationship. Now he's not totally afraid of that completely. It looks in his interesting cards. He looks like an interesting man. He has the potential to get scared and run away. So I'm only warning you about that. So.
Well, that's why I'm trying not to push it.
Yeah, but
you know,
with commitment phobics, whether you push it or you don't push it, they're going to run. I mean, there's a point at the 3-month mark where you've got to push it. For your own sanity, you know what I'm saying? If you're happy just casually dating once a week or every other week while you're still looking for somebody else, that's fine. But if you want something more and committed, then you're going to probably have to say it to him.
Well, that's what scares me because it's like it's so soon, and I'm like, well, you know. Because he's looking at – he acts like we picked up where we left off 13 years ago.
Well, that's kind of what soulmates do. There's kind of like, there's a different kind of time that takes place between soulmates. It's as if no time has passed.
Yes, it's interesting.
I mean, it's just the way it is. If I didn't see one of my college friends for almost 40 years, and when we got back together, now I see her, you know, at least once a month. It was like we never missed a beat. soulmate friends, soulmate, you know, people. They just don't, it's like time didn't matter that it passed. So that's not unusual with soulmates, to feel like he wants, you know, just picking up where you left off.
Yeah.
So do us a favor, call in again, like call in like 2 weeks or so. We don't have a show next week. Call in like maybe 2 weeks from now and let us know how it's progressing. This is the kind of, people love to hear this, you know, that this actually somebody comes back from the past. Let's see if he really has learned. You know, what he learned is that he never forgot about you in 13 years. I think that should be enough to make somebody change, don't you think?
Well, I would hope so. I would really hope so, and it appears that maybe he has, because he's just, it's different, and it's different in a very nice way, and it's just this texting thing that's driving me crazy. I have to get rid of that. That's something that's not, I have to stop that somehow. I don't know how to nicely say, let's talk on the phone.
As a form of communication, I call it textual abuse. Things get lost in text. I'm very suspicious of where you are or what you're doing, that you can't just call me. Like, if we're going to text for 20 minutes, why didn't you talk to me for 20 minutes? Stupid.
It is.
And you know, unless, you know, you're with another woman, you're with a place, you're somewhere where you shouldn't be, like, why can't you just talk to me? And it's always nice. Soulmates like to hear each other's voices. It's like the DNA. You feel, like, really happy when you're talking to them. So you can mention to him, you know, it's not that you don't know how to text. You know how to text. But, it's not a form of communication, as far as you're concerned. And, you know, of course, if you're in a place where you can't really talk, then it's a little bit different. But as a rule, it should be telephone conversations, not texting. So, you know, it does make me uncomfortable to deal with people like that. I don't like that. And again, I told you, I do it to avoid conversation. Okay.
I know, which really should be saying something to
me.
And I'm
telling you point blank, I love you, all of my clients, but, you know, I don't want to call to get book an appointment and you're going to start telling me everything you're thinking about. Can I just read this? I don't want to be on for 15 minutes, okay? I don't. You know, you'll get your reading when your time comes. This is just booking a time and a place. You know what I mean? So I'm using it to avoid conversation. So, and avoid talking. So I'm wondering if people aren't using it in the same vein. I really don't want to talk. I'm too lazy to talk. I just want to do this. I want to shoot this off. But that's not how you should feel about your lover. You should want to talk to your lover, don't you think?
I agree.
So, you know.
I agree. I want them to want to talk, you know.
Of course. And hear your voice and joke back and forth, a laugh. And it's just very, it's just nice to hear a voice. I mean, half the clients that listen to my radio show, they listen to it before they go to bed. They say, your voice is very comforting to me. It's very soothing. I don't even care what you're saying. That's how you're supposed to feel when you're with a soulmate or somebody. You want to just hear their voice. So, you know, you love to hear their voice. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, we're going to be cut off from Blog Talk in about 20 seconds. So
yeah.
I'm sorry we didn't get to
okay,
everybody. Well. Thank you for calling in tonight. If we didn't get to
you,
like Jennifer, please call in. You know, I love you. Please call in, Jennifer, 2 weeks from now, and we'll put you to the top of the class. Good night, Teresa.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Nicole. Thank you for everything. And
good night, Cindy.
Thank you. And we'll speak in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye,
and
everybody.
And enjoy your time off, my dear.
Thank you so much. Bye.